turn in our Bible to the 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians 3, and we want to begin reading at verse 5. We shall read to the end of the chapter. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stones is glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glorious, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished. But their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all with open faith, or unveiled faith, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image, from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4, verse 5, or verse 6, excuse me. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. We want to consider tonight the glory of the unveiled face. The heart of the apostle must have glowed with joy as he wrote these verses in 2 Corinthians. In these verses, the word glory appears no fewer than 14 times. Now when I say the word glory, I take in with that the word glorious as well. What was the theme? The theme was the light of the knowledge of the glory of God that was manifested in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. The apostle had been called to make known that glory in the power of the Spirit of God. And 2 Corinthians, in a special way, speaks of the ministry which God has entrusted to the apostle and also to us who are his own. Now, Paul was ever conscious of the glory of this ministry to which he had been called. Remember something. Affliction accompanied this ministry of glory. Affliction accompanied this ministry. In chapter 1 and verse 8, Paul says, we were pressed out of measure, above strength, despairing even of life. That's in chapter 1 and verse 8. When you go to chapter 4 and verse 17, he says our light affliction. He said it was light. But he said we were pressed up to despaired even of life. But then he says our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Now what was the apostle's secret? Here's a man who was pressed above measure, above that he despaired even of life, and he can write our light affliction. What was his secret? As you and I went through some of these difficulties, we couldn't get finished talking about it. What was Paul's secret? Well, beloved, his secret is found in the teaching that we read in chapter 3. It is associated with a working of the Spirit of God in his life. 7 times in 2 Corinthians 3, the Spirit of God is mentioned. Therefore, we have an example of the surpassing excellency of the glory of the Spirit of God, and we behold it as it is contrasted with the glory that was associated with Moses. There, I don't know how much you enjoy Exodus chapter 33, but Exodus chapter 33 and chapter 34 are 2 of my favorite chapters in the Bible. In Exodus chapter 33, we have the human request, "Show me thy glory." And God speaks face to face with Moses, the scripture says, as a man speaks with his friend. And he shows him his glory. And the first part of the glory of God is revealed, "I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy." That is God's glory. And then, as he revealed his glory to Moses, he revealed it by declaring his name and what his name meant to Moses as he passed by, and Moses saw the back part of the glory of our God. Now I'm looking at 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We want to begin first of all with the shining face of Moses. It was both a blessing, but also a solemn experience for the people of Israel to look upon Moses when his face shone, when he came down from the holy mountain and the glory of God was revealed in Moses' face. Now Moses didn't know that his face was shining. That teaches us something. When our experience is real, we don't need to tell anybody about it. They'll know it. If you have to talk about your experience, well, it isn't too real. When it's real, others will know it. Moses wist not that the glory of God was upon his face. But furthermore, that shining glory that was manifested on the face of Moses authenticated him as God's messenger to the people. Furthermore, it was also a manifestation of the excellent work of that law of God, of which Moses was the honored minister. And when you get to the death of Moses in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 10, it records this concerning him. It says, "When there arose not a prophet since in Israel, like unto Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face." Moses occupied a great position as a prophet before our God. Now the apostle refers to this glorious occasion, and he declares that it indeed was glorious. So the first thing we notice in 2 Corinthians 3 is the shining face of Moses. But then second, we have the veiled face of Moses. The veiled face. Why did Moses put a veil over his face? Why did he do it? Now, Exodus chapter 34 and verse 33. I'd like you to turn to it. Exodus 34, for that is what is referred to here in the passage. Now, if you have a King James translation, it isn't going to help you much. But if you do happen to have the American Standard or another translation, you might have an easier time in Exodus chapter 34, verse 33. I'm going to read the King James. For it says, "Until Moses had done speaking with them, he put a veil on his face." Now, in this passage, according to the Authorized Version, it might suggest that the veil was worn in order to hide the exceeding brightness of Moses' face while he was speaking to the people. But the American Standard Version, it uses the word when instead of the word till in the verse, and that gives it a new meaning altogether. And it, by the way, it gives you the meaning that corresponds with 2 Corinthians chapter 3. When Moses was finished speaking with the people, he put a veil over his face. When he was finished, not while he was talking, but when he was finished, he put the veil on his face. Now the apostle in 2 Corinthians 3, he tells us why he put the veil on his face. It was so the children of Israel should not steadfastly look to the end of that which was passing away. The glory of Moses' face was departing. And in order that they don't see it depart, he covered his face. Why? The glory on Moses' face, beloved, was a fading glory. That glory apparently rested upon him while he was speaking to the people as the official representative of God. The people saw the glory. And when he finished speaking, the glory began to fade. And he put a veil over his face. You see, the veil served a purpose of not permitting the people to see the glory gradually fade away. For verse 11 of chapter 3 says, "For if that which is done away is glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious." So we have the shining face of Moses, and then you have the veiled face of Moses, but now we come to the unveiled face of Jesus Christ. What then is the glory that excelleth, that he speaks about there in verse 11 and also in verse 10? What is that glory that excelleth? Beloved, it is that glory which is now to be beheld in the face of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4 and verse 6 we read, "But God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." Glory. What is it? We could say it's the outshining of the excellence of God. But we could also say it's a manifestation of the hidden worth of an object. Glory is the outward manifestation of the hidden worth of an object. John on the Isle of Patmos, when he beheld the risen Lord, he said, "I heard a voice behind me, and when I heard, just turned to see the voice which spake unto me." And then he describes what he saw. And he says, "When I saw him, I fell at his feet as one dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and is dead. But behold, I am alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and of death." This blessed one, here's where the glory of God is shining, beloved. Here is that glory that excelleth. It is to be beheld in the face of Jesus Christ. For that glory now resides upon the one who once was on a cross of shame, but was raised from the dead by the almighty power of God, and now is beheld in that glory. Jesus of Nazareth, exalted to God's right hand, in him is manifested all the worth of God, the glory of God, and the excellence of that glory is beheld in the face of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now how infinitely does the glory connected with our Lord Jesus excel the glory that was connected with Moses? Well, let's make a contrast. First of all, the glory of Moses was a fading glory. In contrast to that, the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is an eternal glory. Another contrast. Moses gave the law, which brought the sinner under condemnation. But Christ gave his life to magnify the law, to redeem from the curse of the law, to rescue the sinner from the condemnation of the law, and to bring in everlasting righteousness and peace. You talk about the glory of Christ. Another contrast. Because the law brought the sinner into condemnation, it meant death for every sinner. Hence, it is spoken of as the ministration of death written and engraven in stone. Did you notice that? That's what it is called in verse 7. But if the ministration of death written and engraven in stone was glorious, but in contrast to that, our blessed Lord by his death and resurrection has brought righteousness to the believing sinner, which results in everlasting life for the guilty ruined sinner who believes in him. The unveiled glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, God commanded the light to shine out of darkness and has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now that brings us to number 4. The unveiled face of the believer. For verse 18 says, we all with unveiled face, as the King James puts it, we all with open face, unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord are changed into his same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The glory that excelleth, beloved, is not only associated with a risen Lord Jesus Christ, but it is also associated with the Spirit of God, and it is termed the ministration of the Spirit here in this passage. Now, it is the work of the Spirit of God to remove the veil of unbelief from our hearts. That we read in chapter 4, verse 6. God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness hath shone in our hearts. And this is a way of speaking of the glorious operation of the Spirit of God in regeneration. And in order that we may behold our blessed Lord by faith now, it is the ministration of the Spirit, the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Now the glory is hidden from the natural man until the Spirit of God illuminates the heart. We saw that tonight in a letter. We were asked to pray for one pygmy to get saved. Why did we pray? We pray because those who minister there are absolutely powerless of themselves. It is God who commands the light to shine out of darkness and shines in the heart, and he does it, beloved, in response to the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now the glory is hidden, the glory of God is hidden from the natural man until the Spirit of God illuminates the heart. May I ask you a question tonight? When we talk about this ministration of the Spirit, which is glorious, are we as believers taking advantage of our privileges? Now, just as the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ is contrasted with the glory of Moses here in 2 Corinthians 3, the glory that is associated with the manifestation of the Spirit can also be contrasted with the glory that is associated with Moses. Let me just make a few contrasts in order that you'll think about this and you'll rejoice in your soul as my soul has been rejoicing. The glory on the face of Moses could be seen with the natural eye. and it imparted to him, that's Moses, authority among the children of Israel. When the children of Israel saw the shining face of Moses, it could be seen, and it imparted an authority to Moses. In contrast to that, friend, Paul here declares that the gospel ministration of righteousness to which he had been called exceeded in the glory the ministration of Moses. And beloved, you and I tonight have the opportunity to participate in a glory greater than that which Israel saw when they beheld the shining face of Moses. Oh, what a portion this is. There's a second contrast. You see, why is this so? How can you and I participate in a glory that's greater than that? You see, Moses was a minister of the law, and it brought no power whatsoever to the hearers. If it is, you tell me where. Moses, as a minister of the law, brought no power whatsoever to those who heard. On the other hand, Paul, as a minister of the Spirit of the living God, he brought the life and the power of God within the heart of the yielded believer. And beloved, there's power in the gospel. There's power in the message of the Word of God. And when we talk about a ministration of life and glory in the life of the believer, the yielded believer, beloved, there's victory over indwelling sin. We as the Lord's people should be enjoying victory over indwelling sin. And furthermore, because of the Spirit of God indwelling us, we are able to perform the will of God from the heart. Glory that is summoned, beloved. But notice another contrast. Beholding the shining face of Moses did not affect any change in themselves. Nor was the glory reflected in Israel or in the Israelites. Here we see the glory that excels, don't we? Those of us who are know something of the word ministration of the Spirit as He reveals the person of Christ to us. Here we see the glory that excels because it transforms us into the very image of Christ. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "We all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed into His same image, even by the glory of the Lord." And all the while, the Spirit-taught believer cries out to God, "I know that in me, in my flesh, dwells no good thing." The believer cries, whose Spirit-taught cries out to God, this very truth. Yet the same blessed Holy Spirit unveils the heart of the believer. He takes the veil off in order that we with unveiled face can behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. What a contrast. Beholding the shining face of Moses imparted nothing to the children of Israel except condemnation, because they had made a golden calf and worshipped it. On the other hand, you and I, as we behold the glory of God, the change. The change. You see, beloved, the believer, in a measure, by the power of the indwelling Spirit, he comes to reflect something of the moral and spiritual glory of the Lord whom he beholds. This, beloved, is genuine sanctification. It's not by doing something, but it's by beholding we are changed. As we who are the Lord, Spirit taught confess to Him,
I know that in me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. We're like a muddy lake. A muddy lake, and yet a muddy lake, with a brightness of the sun shining upon it, reflects a glory. But that same muddy lake, when a cloud obstructs the sun, reveals no glory. And that's how we are. You see, we're like a muddy lake. But there can be no reflecting if clouds of sin, worldliness, doubt, and indifference of heart come between. There is no reflection of glory. So therefore we should say to one another, let us not allow anything in our life that would cause us to lose in the slightest degree the full blessing of that ministration of the Spirit of God. Now that brings us to another section. It is from glory to glory. You see, the glory of Moses was a fading glory. The glory of the Spirit is an everlasting glory, but it's also an increasing glory. And that, to me, is the fullness of the thrust in this passage here. It is increasing in glory. It is from one degree of radiant holiness to another. Now, outwardly, it may be beheld in affliction and in trial. Inwardly, the process is one of transformation into the likeness of Christ by the Spirit of the Lord. This is how the Spirit of God transfers adverse circumstances into occasions of glory. Therefore, day by day, we may go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, until that day of which John speaks when he says, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And in that day, we're going to be totally like him. In the meantime, that glory should increase in us as we, with unveiled face, beholding in the mirror of the Word His glory and our change. In the 115th Psalm, where we have a great contrast between the God who is in the heavens and the idols of the heathen. The idols of the heathen, they are mouths, but they speak not, eyes, but they see not, ears, but they hear not, noses, but they smell not, neither speak they through their throats. And then it adds, they who make them are like unto them, so is everyone who trusteth in them. In other words, they who bow down to the idols of the heathen become like the idols of the heathen. Now the same principle is true in us. Those of us who bow the knee and know something of the ministration of the Spirit of God in our lives ultimately are going to be like him in that day. We go from faith to faith, from glory to glory, until one day in his presence we are like him. And we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. 2 Corinthians 3 is one of the great chapters that teach us the process of practical sanctification. not by doing,
but by beholding. As we behold Christ, we're changed. Let's pray. Our Father, in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you that you've given to us the Holy Spirit of God to reveal the glory of Christ to us. And we bless your name tonight, that while the glory that was on Moses' face couldn't be transferred to anybody, the glory that's on the face of Jesus Christ is transferred to us who believe and who behold. Take the word and make us more like Christ, for Jesus' sake.